I want to do part two of my ultimate Christmas series. Last week, I did Christmas, the ultimate story. Today, it's Christmas, the ultimate victory. You know, this is the Sunday before we celebrate Christmas on Friday. You know, and probably a lot of people are still trying to get shopping done. It's great if you've already got it all done. How many already got all their shopping done? How many don't? I believe the latter they win that vote. But traditionally, Christmas is a time of giving. It's a time when we sort of stop and families gather and traditions are established and we just take time to enjoy one another. But we need to take time to enjoy the one that's the reason for the season. You know, at this time of the year, as you go into stores and you talk to people, some people, you know, they're get aggravated at all the time and the effort that's going in to getting the Christmas gifts. You know, a man by the name of Roger Flatt said this: the giving of gifts is not something man invented. God started the giving spree when he gave a gift beyond words, the unspeakable gift of his son. You know, as we go into this season, sometimes people don't ever have everything they need. Sometimes you can't give the gift you'd really like to give. Some people are dealing with negativism and circumstances. Some people just are struggling to get through the day and to get clothing and shelter, transportation. But we all can celebrate the one gift, the Christ child, that was born in Bethlehem so many years ago. Let's go read about that in Luke chapter 2. Let's start with verse number 1. Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. The census first took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now they were in the same country, shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Now that's a great story, and we talked about it last week. But the thing we need to look at is, what does the birth of Jesus mean to us? Because through him comes the ultimate victory. He came to deliver us from Satan's hold. Let's read what the angel said to Mary when she was first told about the Christ child. Luke 1, 32 and 33. Luke 1, 32 and 33. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there will be no end." In these verses, as the angel talked to Mary, he told her what the Christ child would become and do. He would triumph over everything, and he would reign forever. God sent his son to this earth to regain the victory that Satan had stolen from him when he took his man that he created, Adam, and tempted him, and he sinned in the Garden of Eden. And at that moment, the Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, that he became the God of this world. Now, the significance here is that Adam was the God, little g, of the world. He had it all. You ever read that in Genesis there? He was over everything. He had control of everything. But when he committed that sin, then the enemy got control. And mankind was under the rule of sin, sickness, poverty, death. And all of mankind that comes from Adam now live separated from God. Remember, if you go read the story, he kicked him out of the garden. He had no more fellowship. Remember, he came down and he fellowshiped with Adam. He walked with him. He talked with him. But now that is done away with, because the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He hates anything that has to do with God. In heaven, he was probably an archangel, as much as we can study. And he had a coup in which he took a third of the angels, and they were going to overthrow God and take over heaven. And God said, "That ain't going to happen." And that's the way we say it in Texas, happen. But it, I should say happen, but we say it the other way down in Texas. Now, and he kicked him out. So he is against God. And Jesus tells us this. John 10:10 says that he's come to steal, kill, and destroy. But I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He came and made what was impossible for mankind, that is, to approach God, to be in fellowship with God again. He came so that man could once again be in fellowship with the Maker. Satan thought he had won. He thought he had man, he had stolen from God the creation that God had made to fellowship with him. And that no more would man ever be able to be in contact with God. It would be eternal separation. But on that night, in Bethlehem's stable, God changed it all. In fact, John says in 1 John 3:8, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. The beauty of the Christmas story is that he came as a child, as a human being, for the purpose of triumphing over Satan and destroying his rule that he had over mankind. You see, in order for man to be restored, he had to not succumb to the temptation. That's why Jesus was tempted. Remember, he lived for 33 years as a man, or a human, we should say, just like us. And he did not yield to the temptation. And for those 33 years, he tries to show you how that a Christian can live and fellowship and be in tune with God. You see, he obtained the victory at the cross. I say it this way. The ultimate victory began in a stable in Bethlehem. But it ended when he rose out of the grave in the garden. And in between, there was his life, there was his crucifixion, there was his resurrection. He came to bring us victory. He came to obtain what man had lost. And Paul says that because of him, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Paul says it again in 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be unto God who gives us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14 says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses or spreads the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Christ came to this earth for us. He came to obtain that ultimate victory over Satan. He was born in a manger. He hung on a cross. He was put in a grave. But he couldn't stay. Satan thought he had won again when he put him in that grave. But he arose. And he sets in heaven today at the place of authority. And if you study history, the place of authority was at the right hand of the King. He sits at the right hand of God the Father. And he wears the victor crown. First John 5:4 says, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" We need to realize that we experience the ultimate victory because of the Christ child that came that night. The angels sang of it. The angel told Mary what would happen. I want to encourage you today to realize the ultimate story and the ultimate victory came that night in that manger in Bethlehem. But too many people leave the victory in the manger. He didn't stay in the manger. That was only the beginning. That would be like you staying in the baby crib. You didn't stay in the baby crib. You grew, you changed. Your faith in Christ will activate the ultimate victory. Today it's time to shout the victory. It's time to have a victory party. I'm not trying to be trivial, but I just was at a victory party last night. My grandson Wesley, his football team, they won the 2A state championship yesterday. And we all, after the game, it was over at UCO, we all drove back and we waited for the bus to get there, and they came off of the bus and there was a victory party. Some of you have been in some of those victory parties with your kids or yourself. Boy, they're going, we can have a victory party down here. But one of these days, they're going to be the ultimate victory party at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, what a banquet. As Bill says, I think I could get a better amen than that. We activate all of this by our faith. We come to a position of either you believe or you don't believe. That's what it comes down to. That's what the ultimate Christmas story, that's what the ultimate victory, that's what it all comes down to. It comes down to one thing. Either you believe it or you don't. It's activated by what you believe. And it brings you into the fullness of that life when you begin to say out of your mouth what the Word of God says. First of all, you say with your mouth, "The Lord Jesus, I confess that He is the Lord and that He died for my, He was born, He died for my sins, He arose again for my victory." And you become a part of the family of God again in fellowship with Him in the spiritual realm, not in that natural realm yet, but one of these days when He splits the clouds of glory, we will. But you experience, you live that ultimate victory by your mouth, by saying what the Word of God has to say about you. As you experience that ultimate victory as you live your life in the authority of the believer. Excuse me. You see, it's great to receive Jesus Christ, and that's all you need to get to heaven. But the greatest victory is living the victory life before you get there. You might say it's like playing the game before the party. And that party will come one of these days. Amen? It's up to us. It's what we do. He is already done. God's already done everything he's going to do about us having victory. When he sent his son Jesus Christ to come to this earth to redeem the man that he had created from the stronghold of Satan. Today, I want to encourage you that the victory was won that night when that baby came into this world. The victory was won. It's up to you to confess it and believe it. This is the time to rise up and to declare, I will live in victory. Satan has no power over me because I live in the ultimate victory, because God sent his son and his son came, and because he came, I have life. And now I can walk in victory, and I can walk the life that God says that I can have, and I can enjoy every bit of my life as I walk the road of life toward heaven, because God is now my ruler, and no longer will Satan be able to dominate me and be able to conquer me. But I will walk in that victory, and I will shout, and I will rejoice, because God has given me the ultimate victory. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That wasn't in these notes anywhere. All right. I think we ought to just stop with that. I mean, I can't top that. I mean, the Spirit of God just came in and he finished the message for me. Did anybody realize that the Spirit of God came in and just finished that message right there? You know, sometimes some of these preachers need to realize when the Spirit comes in and says something, they need to shut up. And I realize that, so I just go, everybody stand. Let's praise God because Jesus came and gave us the ultimate victory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.